This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
What is a dark place? What does it mean to go to your dark place? We'll discuss here in a moment. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well. In this hour, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Came from a tweet of Lydia's last night, and she started it by saying, before you are tempted to go to your Mariner dark place. And I thought it was an interesting way of describing, because I think we all know what it means to be watching a game and go to a dark place. It's not just with the Mariners. It's with Seahawks. It's with any team that you root for and care about.
That you want so badly for them to do well.
There is a temptation in the midst of battle to go to your dark place.
And if you're, you know, different than, say, John Clayton, who's not a fan, who has no emotion.
None.
Who does not ever get into these dark places. Why would I? But also, too, let's put it this way. He's a journalist and not a fan. And maybe you are like John and wired that way similarly. God bless you. I am not. Howdy is not. Salky's not. I don't think Kyle is. I don't think Miss Lydia is. I think we can all be prone to a little dark place every once in a while.
We all get there in different ways and at different times. And it's funny. There's not one of us who is like all the time in that dark place yelling. Like, you are probably worse than me during football season.
Whoa,
during
dark, football, dank, depressed.
During football season, you are always, Brock,
what?
Don't you lie to us.
What?
During the middle of football, in the early part of Seahawks games,
yes.
How many texts do we have from being like, this is ridiculous, and the offensive line can't block, and this guy just can't win, and this guy can't get separation, and this guy can't make a throw, and this guy can't catch. This thing is all, like, we get that from you once a week.
Only one of us has left our houses during the game because they were so upset with what they were watching.
Who did that?
Brock has done that.
Oh, that's not true. I did that at Brock's house. It's totally untrue. I did that at Brock's house. I left Brock's house during the game against the Falcons in the playoffs.
True.
Now, to be fair, that game was over, and I was just trying to get home from
that's
East
true.
Spokane.
No, but the Falcons but I did leave playoff early. Loss, I was vomiting outside. No, that's true. There's been some painful moments.
Whose house did you leave?
My own.
Oh, your own house.
I thought you meant you left another house. Have you ever left your own?
Sorry. Have I ever left my own house?
No. His own house during game watching by himself.
I left Brock's house.
Yes.
But I've never left my own house.
You've never had to do that?
No. That is crazy.
I turned the game off yesterday. I'll be vulnerable. Seventh inning, sixth inning, I turned the game off last night. I was going to a dark place. Quick little story. Molly and Haley are out of town, so it's just Titus and myself. And last night, Macy sleep over with a buddy, which she loves. So it's just Titus and I. And, of course, Daniel came over.
Buddy?
Macy, yeah, a friend of hers.
Okay.
Yeah, not a guy.
Well, you said a buddy.
Well, buddy can be female or male.
All right, just checking.
Specific.
All right.
So I had Daniel come over. Daniel helped me out getting Titus to baseball camp, and we had some steaks and stuff. And Titus yesterday called me out in front, out of the mouth of babes, and he was right to do so, called me out in front of Daniel. He said, Daniel, the only reason my dad is acting this way is because you're here. If you were not here, he would be a lot angrier.
Wow.
He would be saying things like, hit the ball! Or, you know, he would be much more frustrated. Daniel, don't think my dad's acting this way because he's calm, cool, and collected. Don't think it, because I know what he's normally like.
So the question ultimately for you guys is, what does that look like? What does it look like when you go to your dark place? And then maybe more appropriately, how do you get yourself out of it, if that makes sense? Like, what is it that gets you there? And then how do you get out of it? What is it like? I'm sort of curious about your whole dark place experience. If that makes sense. I know it's sort of a, I feel like the guy
in the, really morbid.
I know, I feel like the guy in The Princess Bride who's trying to like do a study on pain.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? He's like, he's got him on the rack and he's trying to do his whole study and he's, please, this is for posterity, so do answer.
Oh,
accurately.
Funny little accent, because I was digging around the internet and I found this guy.
I'm Garth Marenghi, author, dreamweaver, visionary, plus actor. You are about to enter the world of my imagination. God. You are entering my dark place.
Oh. I don't want to enter that guy's dark place. I feel like it involves a torture chamber. No, thank you.
It's Garth Marenghi, dude.
Who's that?
Show some respect.
Right. I don't know. But yeah, I
Garth
started,
or Darth?
I started to go there last night. Okay, I had accountability of friends, obviously accountability of Titus, and then ultimately I turned the game off. I said, I don't like where I'm going here. I don't like where my mind's going. I don't like where it's digging into 17 years of history. I don't like any of this stuff, and I'm just going to turn away from it.
Okay.
And in tub time, I'll check for the
eighth
inning
score. So what is it that gets you there?
Huh? What is it that gets you to the dark place? Like, because not every game can get you to a dark place. So what is it, whether it's Seahawks or Mariners, what is it, or Huskies or Cougs or whatever it is? Kyle, we know you've been to a dark place. How many times have you left Pullman at halftime?
Well, actually, like the entire city of Pullman, yes. I only left once.
How sick were you at the game at Salk was that? You couldn't even come out of your yurt. You were just you were so physically ill.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Cougar kicking issues. There's the Stanford loss, the Cal loss, the Colorado loss.
I hung out with Kyle's wife and all of their friends while Kyle slept in his RV. It was terrible. So, all right, 206-421-3776 is the number. 206-421-3776. Top five caller board should be out. Let's get that thing out. We need some good answers from people. And just an explanation of what gets you to your dark place, what it looks like, and then how you finally get yourself back out of that dark place. Brock, first tell me this. What gets you to a dark place?
That's a good question. I would say, and I'm trying to think across all spectrums of youth sports, of all the other sports, of those teams I'm rooting for or have somewhat of a vested interest in. It's just the lack of, it's just not competitive. When it's not competitive, and if it's your own, and if it's their own doing, because they're just like mental errors, especially like boneheaded, simple things. But when the game is just, or the environment is just not a competitive, when it's going back and forth, I can be right with it. I can live with bad plays. I can live with bad shots. I can live with bad misses. I can live with it. But when it is just a non-competitive environment and I'm feeling some of that just shutdown mode,
you and I are exactly the opposite in that way.
Yeah, we are.
Because for the most part, those are the games I just, all right, whatever.
Yep.
Those games happen. You've seen clunkers. You've seen stinkers. And certainly during a baseball season, you're going to see 30 of them.
Yep.
For sure. I mean, honestly, 30 of your losses in a baseball season generally are just going to be complete clunkers where you were non-competitive.
Yep.
You got beat 5-1. Your pitcher didn't show up and your bats didn't show up either. Like, yeah, I mean, you can't go to a dark place after every one of those, can you?
No, that's why you just shut it off. That's why last night I just shut it off.
Avoid it.
I just didn't get into that dark place.
All right.
I just shut it off. Yep.
And that's how you get out of it.
And I've done a better job of that, just being able to shut it off. Yes, that is a little bit, quite honestly, of your background so closely tied to baseball, of growing up and watching baseball. And yes, you watch football and everything else, but that's my background of growing up in a home with a dad that was so intense in those things, and it was such a competitive deal, or with an older brother that I could never beat, and it infuriated me, right? And I just hated not being able to compete with him and get beat all the time. So yes, I think, as I'm really digging in, and expressing and being vulnerable.
Yeah, we're going to have Dr. Moonbeam peaceful in any moment.
I think that's where a lot of my stuff comes from.
Yeah, wow.
Because I'm unpacking it.
We'll lay down on my couch. Shut your eyes and let's talk a little bit more about this. 206-421-3776. What gets you to a dark place? What's it like and how do you get out? Drew's in Tacoma. Drew, how about you?
What's up? Hey, I think me personally, it's the fact that what you're watching, you have absolutely no control over.
Oh, yeah, Drew. That is so
true. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And I've played baseball my entire life, so it's like all I want to do is contribute somehow. And you know what I mean? It's like I'm watching this, and it's like there's absolutely nothing that I can do. You know what I mean?
So what is it? So what is it out there? So what happens that gets you to that dark place?
When you see the same stuff, if you start seeing the
repeatable,
stuff, it's like just make some proper adjustments, pump some money into the program. You see the teams that have the highest payroll, those are the ones going to the playoffs. Yep. Invest some money and get some real deal players, and then we'll make something happen.
Appreciate the phone call, Drew. Yeah, and that's why sometimes when your players have been around a while, you know, and we'll get to maybe some Jake Browning sound today of Chris Peterson, there is a blessing and a curse to it. Damon used to say this to me kind of while I was playing college football, and after he was like, you know, there's something about Mark Sanchez that played 15 games of college football. And why he was a top five pick. Like, all the warts were not exposed, right?
It's like an NBA player with upside.
Yeah, exactly, with all this upside. But it's something different when you've just been through it for 3 years, as Jake has. You kind of see, and unfortunately, some of the warts stand out more to people than the unbelievable toughness and the wins and the consistency and everything that he does do well. You focus on the things he doesn't. Kyle Seager right now probably puts you and I in a darker place more than any other player. Like, we've watched him for 6 years, and you don't wholly appreciate his toughness, right? Him there every day, his great defense that he's playing. It's like, why are you still so prone to these stretches where you just can't hit at all? You know, so I think there's something to be said.
And by the way, he's in the opposite right now. All of a sudden, he is starting to hit the ball a little bit, yes, which is really good news for the Mariners.
Yes.
But I agree with you that that repeatable thing where you're like, you just are driven nuts by a specific player. And sometimes once you've turned that switch, it's hard to sort of turn it back off or correct, whatever it may be.
Yep.
All right. So that's it. I like that one. That's a good one. 206-421-3776. Top five board is out. Jason's in Mukilteo. Jason, how about you? What gets you to a dark place? And then how do you get out of it?
Lack of execution in key situations. Like, I don't know, when we hit two triples and then we can't do anything about it.
That gets you?
Yeah, that gets me going pretty good. And that dark place looks like inanimate objects near me need to fear for their life.
Yeah.
And how I get out of it is binge drinking.
Binge drinking, perfect. What better way? I hope you're doing that at home or somewhere where you can take an Uber. Okay.
Always good. At home.
All right, good. Jason, that's important.
What did you say? You tweeted the other day about steam out of your ears.
It was that, actually. It was that exact thing.
Yes,
it's not scoring multiple runners from third base with nobody out, leadoff triples. Like, get that guy in a close game or whatever. That drives me nuts. 0-2 home runs will completely drive me nuts. There's a bunch of things. But that none of those things get me to my dark place. See, I think you guys are confusing frustration with a dark place.
Oh, okay.
And what I heard from Lydia yesterday, or at least what I read out of your tweet, was not what frustrates you. There's plenty of things that frustrate me on a day-to-day basis. I'm frustrated 9,000 times a day.
Sure.
But dark place is different from just being frustrated. The dark place is the place you go to where you're like, okay, here it goes. Mariners are going to lose today. They've looked uncompetitive in 3 out of 4. They had a 10-game lead in the second wild card. It's now going to be down to 5. Oakland's coming back. They're going to beat the stupid Astros. You're a week away from being tied in the stupid wild card, and everything's going to hell.
Which actually,
that's a dark place.
Is a reply that I got last night.
I
on
believe
Twitter
it.
To that
I believe
tweet.
It. I 100% believe it.
Looks like
it.
The Mariners are going to their own dark place.
You just start when things spiral for you. It is different from being frustrated.
So I think it's a combination of A, being a victim of recency and having that emotional gut instinctive reaction. And then also, like you said, Salk, it's your history. It's your history of being a fan. It's your history of watching that sport over the years. It's your history of like past experience. And it's also part of your personal bias, whether it's the fact that you were like raised, maybe your coach or your dad hammered into you that defense is the most important thing or something. So
how do you not lay down a bunt? If your team can't lay down the bunt, you can't execute, you can't go to the playoffs. And now this whole thing's toast. Like that's how you end up into an incredibly dark place.
And you fight it?
Well, I told you about my dad. I mean, my dad is the best example.
You fight it?
The darkest place I've ever seen. I've told the story 100 times, so I know that I've told this too many times. I love it. Is in the 04 ALCS. And game 6, it was when A-Rod slapped the ball out of Arroyo's hands. Mm-hmm. And they call him, he runs around, and the Red Sox blow the lead, and my dad loses it. We're sitting in the living room, he's swearing, he takes his dinner plate, goes into the kitchen, hurls it into the sink, breaking things, and then, like, is screaming, every year, every time, I don't know why I get sucked into this, happens every year, these idiots, and he's three, so mad.
Oh, no.
And my mom and I are just looking at each other like, oh, no, look, this is, he's lost it. We finally lost dad for good.
He's broke.
And then the umpires get together, and I think it's Joe West who points over and says, nope, you're out, A-Rod, Jeter, go back to second base. And the Red Sox, of course, end up going with my mom, and I said, like, dad, you might want to come back in here. They've reversed it. They've what? They reversed it. Oh.
Oh.
Well, good day.
Take back.
Okay.
I'll glue this dish back together.
Anyway, I'll call replacements.com and see if I can get us some new glasses. Like, Dad, you've completely become unhinged. The best thing I will say about watching someone else become unhinged, at least for me, is that it keeps me completely out of that zone. Like, if I can watch games with somebody who's much more negative than I am, my dad's a great example.
Very few.
There are a few, but my dad wins. I can't watch football with my dad. It's awful. You watch football with your dad, and it's like second like play of the game. They'll run into the line of scrimmage for a yard. I can't run.
Yep.
Like, Dad, it's the second play. I can't watch it, but it helps me stay positive.
And you know what will be very fascinating? This is where U Sports is very fascinating. Hopefully we can do 7-10 days for the next 10 years, Salky, so you start to get in this phase where it's fascinating is now you watch parents that can't sit together. I don't know, maybe when you were playing.
Can't sit together.
Correct.
Oh, I believe that.
Oh, because one is negative and one's not. Maybe that happens in the Huron household. Not Molly and I, but maybe that was my upbringing, that they can't sit together. They can't even sit in the same room.
Interesting.
You know, Mike and Peg, Love them. Been married a long time.
Shouldn't watch a game together.
They don't.
They don't watch
a game.
Do they watch youth sports or all sports?
They could kind of watch our youth
sports. Could they watch a Mariner game together?
Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know that for sure. Maybe not.
It's funny, Mike, that you say that seeing someone else do that kind of saves you from going there, because isn't that the tact you use with Cecily, where you show her videos of her behavior
Absolutely.
And you try to shame her?
Yes. Well, I don't need more.
She gets that from you.
I don't need more. I mean, now she's like the perfect angel child.
Oh, that's right.
She's completely changed her tune.
Cecily.
Well, I'll tell you what, on the youth sports thing, I'd be curious about. There's a quick interlude. We tried something different with Avery this year on the youth sports parenting thing with soccer. Mm-hmm. And Heather asked her specifically.
This was with the kitty cats?
Yeah, because Avery.
Shooting kitty icebergs.
Kitty icebergs.
Do you want us to cheer at all? No. She didn't want us to say a word. She specifically asked for me and Heather to say nothing. Don't cheer. Don't yell. Don't yell encouragement. Do nothing. Wow. Literally be silent and watch the game. And there's some research to back up the fact that that may actually be the best thing to do for your kids, because they generally don't hear the encouragement.
Yep.
They don't really hear the cheering.
Yep.
And all they hear is either the negativity or the instructions, but they sort of tune it out and get annoyed by it.
Yep.
Bang,
exactly.
Bang, meow, meow.
Oh, I thought that was Bob's vocal
exercise. Shooting kitty icebergs rally.
Right. When I first heard it, I thought it was Bob's warm-up lip.
Pretend like you've got a ping pong ball in your mouth.
That's kind of what I thought it was. Oh,
that's interesting. Oh, man.
Could you do that? Could you be silent?
Try.
Could you and Molly be silent during an entire game? No cheering, no booing, no nothing.
Molly could.
I don't think Brock could do that.
Molly could.
You have to be silent during one of your kids' games.
Molly could.
Try it.
Yeah, I know. We were trying to do a little more of
Literally
that.
Silent. No cheering. You can't even cheer when Haley drains a three. You just have to be silent. Could you do that?
You're stressing Brock out just
thinking
about this.
Can we get to these calls?
All right, 206-421-3. Of a lip thing,
but when it
loosens up the mouth, gets the voice going.
Wouldn't it take away some of the fun?
Yeah, but you're not there to have fun. You're there for your kid.
Yeah,
and if it's better for your kid to do nothing, should you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know the answer to this. It was just something that's been brought up.
Good question.
All right, 206-421-3776. Let's grab our number one caller on the board. Kendall's in Santa Monica.
Nice.
Good morning to the number one caller. Hi, Kendall.
Good morning, guys.
What gets you to a dark place?
Hey, man.
For me, the dark place is a place I would define as where hope is lost and faith is broken. And for me, like, my friends call me the Hawk-timist because I am so optimistic all the time. But what broke me was last season was the cumulative games that I flew up for. There was Washington, and then there was Atlanta. And then I was teetering on the edge because we lost those and still go kicking, and that is the worst way to lose.
Mm.
But then it was the Arizona game to end the season. When you see the team kind of go away from its principles and go away from its belief, and that is where, for me, I will believe so much, and I'm a Pete Carroll guy, so I can't help but do
you're
it any other way.
Yeah, you're a Hawk-timist.
Yes, I am. But seeing the lack of effort, the lack of belief, the lack of trying, you can control everything else, or you can't control anything else in sports, but you can control your effort and
Amen.
How you
it's frustrating. It's funny, though, because there are, you know, in a long season, there are going to be games where a team doesn't show up, doesn't concentrate, doesn't play hard. Certainly it happens in hockey and basketball. It happens in basketball 90% of them. And my feeling on that has always been, you know, I built my entire day around today. I really wish the team could have also. Like, hey, thanks a lot, guys. I didn't go do something. I'm screwing up plans. I decided today what I want to do is watch your game. I'm sorry you couldn't be bothered to try hard today. It really, I'm with you. It drives me nuts. But
that was the first half against the Redskins. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was so sloppy. And
Ross
was just off. And it's like, guys, I fly up for these games. I flew to Minnesota. I was in minus 15 degree weather for that playoff game, and I bring my mojo. And so if I'm flying up, you guys at least got to be locked in.
All right, hang on the line, Kendall. Kyle needs to ask you something, so hang on the line. I will say I flew up from L.A. to Oakland for game one of the 2003 ALDS, Red Sox and A's. And the Red Sox lost that game on a squeeze play.
Mm.
And Grady Little, this is a couple weeks before he screwed up the Pedro Martinez thing, blew that game 10 ways from Sunday.
Sure did.
I don't remember the details. I just remember thinking that and storming around Oakland, incredibly drunk, and and screaming in the streets about Grady Little, getting drunk with some people from Truckee that night, my friend Mike and I punching each other in the groin, and then oversleeping and missing our flight the next morning. Like, I get it. When you've truly, like, invested not just your time but even your money in something, and it looks like the guys being paid to do so don't have, like, the same level of interest, it's pretty awful.
Is it possible that fans can care more than players?
At times. Oh, absolutely. Are you watching the World Cup, for God's sakes? Those people are ready. They're strung out. They absolutely care more than the players. The only reason the players care is they don't want to get shot when they get home. 206-421-3776. Let's grab, who do you like, Kyle? How about Dan? Dan Woodenville?
Sure.
Let's grab Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
So kind of building off of what Kendall was talking about, but Doc, I feel like you of all people should be on board with this one. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm also a contrarian, which means that while majority
of
the Pacific Northwest complains and is afraid to root for their teams, that means you get to sit there and be cheering them on, even in the darkest moments. And as a Seahawks fan over the last few years since 2012, it's been delightful because they've usually been 10 or more wins a season, so it hasn't really hurt that much. And so if you're a contrarian and you're in the Pacific Northwest, your job is to be optimistic because our fans jump off the bandwagon like it's their job.
I think it's true. I do that with Brock all the time in the early parts of games. I'm generally pretty
optimistic.
What do you
like to say to me? Relax, little grasshopper?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've texted me that.
Well, how many times
during Seahawks games, Brock?
How many times do you need to watch the Seahawks start slowly and then win before you get it through your head that that's what they're going to do?
That's true.
You have never learned Pete's lesson on can you win the game in the first quarter.
Can you win it in the first quarter?
You have never learned that lesson.
Nope.
You need Bruce Irvin yelling in your ear.
Do you have to play like crud in the first quarter? No, you don't either.
Hell no!
I'm with you on that. And the Mariners this year are a good example. Like, I know you're going to find a way to come back late in the game, but would it kill you to hit in the middle inning, score a couple extra runs, and go up by six?
Who's our stat guy in Eatonville? What's his name? He's on here sometimes. Peter in Eatonville. I'm curious, Peter in Eatonville, are the Mariners the worst add-on team in baseball? Because it feels that way.
Yeah.
It feels like they play, and I don't know how you measure that.
I looked yesterday because I was curious about whether or not they score significantly fewer runs in the middle innings. It's not really true.
Not really?
They score a lot in the first, but after that, like, it's pretty
even. It feels like they get to people early.
I know.
And then they add on zero.
I know. It's
even
really
for a team 22 games over 500.
All right, what gets you to a dark, dark place? How about, let's see, Dan in Seattle.
Another
Hi, Dan.
Dan.
Good morning.
Dan the man. What's up?
Hey, guys. So there's a couple things, and it's only the Seahawks that get me in my dark place. So when the Seahawks defense is getting run on consistently throughout the game, specific game from last year was Tennessee. I was down in Mexico on vacation, and I was got to my dark place. It was pretty bad time after that.
You don't want to be on vacation in a dark place. That's no good. That's
sorry,
a tough
Dan.
Spot.
There's a lot going on.
Now you've
it sounds
your
like
vacation.
You're at the port there. With stuff in the background.
Some you may be Lydia's old trains.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When your defense can't stop the run, that's a real tough place.
Yeah, and they're just walking all over you.
Can I take you to a light place really quickly?
Oh, sure.
The latest updates from MLB Communications are that Gene Segura and Jesus Aguilar still in first place, leading the way, less than 5 hours left to go.
But just over 4.5 hours left to go to keep Gene there. You'll never know if you don't go. In first place. Does this keep you out of a dark place? Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. See, my problem is once I've gotten into a dark place, and I admit, I honestly don't go there that often.
I really don't. No,
when I
don't
get there, it's bad, but I don't go there that often. You go there more than I do, honestly, watching games.
Sure.
I don't go there that often.
Yep.
But when I do, I start taking the positives and turning them into
negatives.
It's
because my dark place is on a scale of 1 to 10, like a 5 or 6. Your dark place is like a 10.
Right.
So you better not get to your
dark place.
No,
I can't afford
to.
No.
You can't.
You have to keep sharp
objects,
away.
Your family, everything else.
So yeah, it takes a lot to get me into a truly dark place because, I don't know whether you guys are like this. Mine's spiral. It goes from, like, the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl to, it turned out to be true. Things are going to be awful at work for the next year and a half. Like, every decision we've made has been based on this not happening, and now it's occurred, and our world is over. And I got to a dark place when the Mariners lost the first couple games in Boston.
Ooh, after, yeah, that was not good.
It was awful.
New York.
We had just planned this whole promotion to give away a pair of tickets every hour the entire next week.
Correct.
And you just start feeling like
when they lost their fifth in a row.
I've committed, and this team is trying to hurt me. That's where I get when I get into a dark. Like, this team is doing something personal to me.
That's right.
No matter what team it is, that you have now offended me, and you're coming after me. You waited until I committed to you, and then you kicked me in the face, right in the teeth. How dare you?
That's right. And thankfully, you don't get to that spot often.
I don't. And thankfully, the Mariners, every time you start to wander into that place, have found some way to immediately bring you back with a nice big winning streak or something like it. All right. Good stuff. Good phone calls. Appreciate everybody. And Kendall, you're still above on top of the big board. We heard some really interesting sound from one guy yesterday. Got four or five cuts that we want to play that I think will continue to enlighten. And what? You don't want to do that now?
No, that's
this
all
has
I
been
do.
Like
no,
your
no,
obsession.
Absolutely.
Now you don't want to do it?
Totally. Let's do it. I want to crush it. Because he lived in a tension, right? He lives in those little dark, well, maybe he doesn't, but he had some awesome sound. I do want
it's
to
next
dig into
from
next.
Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Fun exploring the darkness with you guys here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app as well. In this hour, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We'll get into good news, bad news, no news here in just a few minutes, and some more baseball talk coming up here at 9 o'clock. Yesterday was pretty fun talking to Chris Peterson. Every time we have him on, Brock, I think we learn something. We find ourselves a little amazed or impressed or in some way surprised by the way he answers questions. He's a really fun guy to talk to.
Well, yeah, what I appreciate about it is he's one of the few. I was driving out of here. I saw Rockstar Bob, and we were talking about just how authentic Chris feels. That in a college football world that feels shady, that feels gross, you even mentioned it to him, the game of college football, not the actual game, but everything else is just like, ugh, it feels so anti-Chris Peterson that I can tell you that sitting in my seat, I really appreciate that even a cynical guy, rightfully cynical about much of the stuff in college football like you are, I think listens to Chris Peterson like, okay. I mean, he's as close as they come as being honest and ethical and true to his word.
If he's fooling us, then shame on me, I guess. I mean, I shouldn't believe anybody based on how college football and college sports in general are run. But if he sat down on my couch and was trying to recruit me, I don't know how I wouldn't be able.
And
to
David Shaw
him.
Would be similar. You'd feel that. And there's a level of kind of a standard.
I mean, I'd still ask for a payout. Like, I'll be really clear. If I were a high school senior, if I was G. Scott's kid, I would be asking for money.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you've got it. Other people are getting it. What are you doing for me? And I'd be willing to bet most coaches are taking me up on it. But I would be pretty impressed by what Chris Peterson does and the way he handles his business. I want to run through some of the cuts, things he said most importantly. Let's start with Jake Browning, his quarterback.
And I think one of the things Jake needs to do is just keep things simple. He knows so much football. And sometimes, you know, complexity and knowing so many things can almost work against you. And he, I think we're trying to just keep things as simple as we can.
And a new coordinator helps. We talked a little bit about this in Blue 42. The other thing that struck both you and certainly Kyle and Howdy is that, you know, we asked about Jake Browning, and his answer was not first about Jake Browning.
Jake is a lot like that. I mean, he is all business. He wants to get better, worse than anyone in this building.
Well, the real, I mean, we asked him about Jake Browning. He's talked about Buda Baker for 5 minutes.
Correct.
Hey, how's Jake doing? Well, let me tell you about Buda Baker and all the things he did.
So it struck the three of you. It didn't resonate with me that way.
Oh, really?
And again, maybe I'm...
We were all looking at each other through the glass, like, why is he talking about Buda Baker?
Well, but to be honest, Brock had brought it up at the Space Needle story earlier.
Yes.
Like, it was part of the... It had already been established as part of the
Don't
conversation.
Don't give me that face, Howdy. Go ahead. No, you
Jake
too.
Browning.
Go ahead.
The question was, how's Jake Browning doing? His answer went, well, let me tell you about Buda Baker.
Right.
Well, and he brought it back around. I mean, he did bring it back around. He did say that Jake is a lot like
that. Thank you, Lydia.
But it was interesting.
These three knuckleheads just had to take it a totally different way.
Yeah, that's how
I heard it. He didn't have a lot to say about how much better he looks, how much more arm strength he's gotten.
So the three of them went to their dark place.
Not
at all. Meanwhile, you and I, Brock.
Not dark at all. Just realistic.
You know what Chris Peterson is? Or is not? He's not a hype guy. He is the most anti-hype guy. What position gets more hype than any other? Quarterback. Which one does he minimize at all costs all the way along? And he will do the same with Jacob Eason or Jacob Sermon or whoever the next starting quarterback is.
He didn't do that with Jacob Haener.
No, because everybody else poops on Jacob
Haener. I had to think about the Jacob for a moment, yes. But he didn't do that with Jake Haener at all.
Nobody mentions Jacob Haener because they all diminish and dismiss him.
And I have never once heard Chris Peterson diminish or dismiss Jake Browning. Never once.
Never once diminish or dismiss him.
And he didn't do that yesterday, but he couldn't.
But he doesn't applaud him either. He just wants that thing to be steady Eddie.
All right.
Well, he wants Kellen Moore. That's all he wants. That's exactly who his quarterback is.
I would say you did go to a dark place. It got pretty dark when you pulled the wool over your eyes about Jake Browning.
Oh, boy. Next.
No, and the final answer of the interview yesterday was about that very thing. Was about like balancing establishing self-confidence with the fact that you need these guys to have a constant chip on their shoulder.
That's right, Lydia. Maybe we should. And
trying to give his quarterback a chip on his shoulder by only talking about other people when you ask about
him. I'm sorry. Did he not circle back?
Eventually, but who's still listening by then? It's like 5 minutes later.
Oh boy!
All right. We asked Coach Peterson, and this is maybe where he's at his best. He was talking about leadership and how important it is to teach it. I thought his answer was pretty. I mean, better than it. It was great.
I don't know if there's one key to it. You know, the one thing that I do know, leaders come in all different size, shapes, and colors, and you know, everybody thinks it's this charismatic personality, and you love it when it's like that, but that is just so few and far between, and all the research says that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with leadership, this charismatic personality. It's, you know, what the guy's made of and the decisions he makes and the trust and the respect and the help that the leader gives other people. And so these are the principles we teach around here for these kids.
And more than ever before today, let me just say that. That principle is more than ever before today because everything gets exposed. You can't fake the funk. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you could hide stuff. Everything is out in the open now. There is nothing in the social media world, in this world of info and access. You can't do it today. So if you are a phony and you're just as charismatic, but you know what? It's a whole lot of surfacey stuff and there's not really any depth to you, you will get exposed today. And I think that's where he's coming from is it's Ben Burkervins. It's the guys that are there every single day that work their butt off. Those are the guys that are the most respected. It can be the walk-on player. I watched it. It's Joe Jarzynka. It's Ryan Miletich. It's those guys that don't get all the attention. Mm-hmm. And Joe eventually got to a scholarship, but that are there putting in the work every single day.
I also liked him earlier. It was sort of led into that conversation, talking about how when he hears other coaches complain that he didn't have a lot of leaders on their team, and he's like, well, did you teach that? Yeah, I'm betting you didn't.
That's right.
Hard thing to teach, but kudos to him for trying to do so. This was what got me sort of... got me to comment on how funny he is a little bit,
like what?
The way he talks. We just asked him a question, who's going to catch the ball for you this year? But the way he answers and the way he says these names, it's different, man, that's for sure.
We got Chico coming back and Quentin Pounds and Andre Bocelli and Aaron Fuller and Jordan Chin hasn't done a lot but has done a nice job in spring and summer. Ty Jones got his feet wet and did, you know, he wasn't targeted a bunch, but he's ready. And then we got some of those kids that, you know, redshirted and Alex Cook and, you know, a couple of those other guys. We got those freshmen coming in.
I just like Aaron Fuller.
Hey, boy, what you
Whoa,
want?
All right, dude. I'm just asking who's going to catch the ball. Why are you angry? But he's not. He's just like sort of, what did we say yesterday? It's sort of a combination of there's some confidence, but also some sort of chip on your shoulder irritation.
It's parenting and coaching, man. Yeah. It's building up self-esteem, but also like being disciplined to have to coach and that constant, I think, tension point that many of those guys walk in. And that he doesn't mind walking in it and actually knows it because he's done it long enough to know that this is where the secret sauce is. That if I can build these guys up and build their self-esteem, yet at the same time be demanding, right, and disciplined and exacting on them, if we can do that, we got a chance to be pretty good.
Well, they should be. I mean, they should be really good. And a big part of it, you know, jokes aside, is going to be how Jake Browning handles this season. If he is the guy that is leading this offense and distributing the ball and overcoming the fact that there's not necessarily a big-name receiver on this team and a big-name target, then they're going to be awfully successful this year. And if he's not, and they're reliant entirely on that run game and mm-hmm. teams start stacking the box and Jake can't take advantage, they're probably not going to get to where they want to go.
And you know what the beauty? You don't have to wait. Like a bunch of these teams, you don't have to wait for league play. You don't have to wait till October, November. Mm. You get a week one. you get one of the single best matchups in all of college football, number week, number one. I think there'll be two, if not top 10 teams. Auburn will be right there. I think it'll be two top 10 teams playing Atlanta in the Chick-fil-A kickoff, where in that building and down there against an SEC opponent, all of that is going to be exposed.
All right, coming up next, one of the least surprising Mariner decisions of the year, coupled with one of the least surprising announcements of the year. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
What's wrong with us? I don't know. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com.
I think we should have like a paid feature for those that want to listen during breaks.
No, thank you. Not going to happen. You can listen to the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
New All-Star Game final vote tallies out today, and Gene Segura in first place.
Way to go, Gene. Way to go, D. We'll get back to some of that sound in the 9 o'clock hour. That's great news. Benintendi, I believe, is Benintendi still two. Stanton, three, probably will be. I love seeing Andrelton Simmons, fifth. Not even close. Even Rosario ahead of him. That's great news, and it's a testament to all of you out there. Yesterday was 710 Day. We got to celebrate and give our thanks to you guys that make this whole thing go. And, I think it is, not to be corny or schmaltzy, but it's a sense of community in this place right to us in the Pacific Northwest.
Agreed on all fronts, and it's great news. Were you surprised?
Yes, I thought he'd be second. I thought Benintendi or Stanton would be first. I thought he would be second.
Yeah.
Just because of the mass population. But it matters a little bit more here, and people are all in. It's awesome.
And it just sort of seems to fit the Northwest as the underdog mentality and a chance to show all the blue-blooded elite programs back east. Like, there's a lot of...
Who thrives better under us versus them? Like, us versus the world than, like, Seattle's.
And I'll say it again. Cougar fans. I think the Cougar fans. I got a bunch of tweets from some of you. Like, yep. You know, Cougar fans are Mariner fans. And anytime, any competition, Husky Cougs, when it comes to this stuff, fundraising, everything else, they win. They're like all in. Don't you tell me what I can do. Pretty cool.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Speaking of tell me what you can't do, new Panthers owner David Tepper, is contractually obligated to keep a statue of Jerry Richardson outside the stadium.
When did statues become the biggest fight in this country? Like, somehow over the last year, we're now fighting more about statues than anything else.
Yep.
Ultimately, this is no news. I mean, I can't bring myself to get bent out of shape about a statue of Jerry Richardson, but I do think it's gross. It's just gross.
I would agree with all of that. I am deeply curious who leaked that contractual obligation.
It was probably
because don't you think Tepper's kind of won here?
Tepper,
don't you think he kind of won? Like, oh really?
Okay,
this is part of the sale. Here you go.
Cool. I'll do it, but I'm going to tell everybody that I have to do it, so you look even worse.
Yeah, you lose on both fronts. Ugh. Bad news.
Vain.
But no news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Athletics lost to the Astros after being down 4-0 in the ninth inning, coming back, tying it up, going into extras, mm-hmm. and then losing it on one of the craziest plays you'll ever see.
Bad news. I was rooting, and they came all the way back. Verlander spun six shutout. Let's shut out 7th and 8th, 4-0. I said, come on, Oakland. You got a little life.
Stop lying.
And they came back, tied it at 4. I was doing backflips in my living room. They took the lead
in
the 11th.
Lying to the people.
I was so mad. Bad news, they lost.
You're lying to the people right now, aren't you?
Bad news.
Are you lying to the people?
No, not at all.
You really, yesterday, as the Mariners were losing again, wanted the Astros to lose.
Yep.
And the A's to win.
Stay within 3 games of them. Now you're 4 out.
And you would have been only 5 up in the division, in the wild card.
Oakland is flawed, Michael. They are a flawed team.
I'm not debating
that. They
play
no defense.
Guess what? The Mariners are a flawed team, too. They're a good team, but they're also flawed. A lot more so than the Astros are, who are nearly flawless. Make sure you make the playoffs. You can worry about the division down the road.
Did you see how Houston won? Did you see how Bregman?
So strange.
That's twice. He's not speaking of not getting it past the ladies' tees. That is 2 game winners for Bregman this season that have not gotten to the pitching mound. The infield pop-up early, if you forgot that one, where Hosmer came in, lost it, and scored on an infield pop-up.
You got to watch this. I tweeted out last night.
Nuts.
It's really... He did at least make an athletic play to avoid the tag on this.
Yeah, he did.
Like the pop-up, he just hit a pop-up. This one, at least he had an athletic play. Really crazy way to end the game, though.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Felix Hernandez was placed on the 10-day disabled list with tightness in his back.
Yeah, I'm going to call this one no news. I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say good news.
No, it's in between. I mean, it's good news that Felix is going to get a break and that they're able to do it here before the All-Star break. And they're only going to miss one start, and it's a start that was going to come against the Angels anyway. And you probably don't need to see Felix go against them again. So, yeah, I thought all this is handled well. So, in that regard, good news in the way the Mariners handled it.
Good timing.
I see some people saying Felix isn't really hurt. He posted a video story. Yeah, the fact that he's got a tweak back doesn't mean he's going to... What do you think he's going to look like... Wearing in a walker?
I mean, Salk's got
hopping
a tweak
around
impingement shoulder from golfing yesterday. I'm sure Howdy's a little sore from golfing. I'm sure the back, and Danny O'Neill's got hip flexor. He's asking me for hip flexor.
But that doesn't mean that you'd notice to look at somebody. So I don't think that is necessarily a sign
it's
that something
it's good timing. It's bad news because Felix just isn't right. And just when the trend of a good start, bad start, good start, good start, bad start, bad start, you're hoping that that trend would go the right way. It's not.
But you knew he needed some time anyway this year. Why not do it now? It's perfect.
Good news, bad news, no news.
IHOP says their conversion to IHOB was just a publicity stunt.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I notice there's that IHOP on Aurora as I drive north. Anytime I go up to either Home Depot or anything up north of me on Aurora, I always drive by the IHOP.
Yeah.
And they never changed
IHOP.
Anything.
Never did. Come on. I'll tell you what. Why I'll spin this to good news. This will be the ultimate test. Is any news... in any publicity, good publicity. Because they just were fraudulent. Right now, it's a joke, tongue-in-cheek, but everybody was talking about it. They created a lot of noise and a lot of attention. I think this will be the test of...
Are people, mad at them and don't go out of anger?
Like, you're fraudulent?
What if they don't go because they don't
phonies?
Have good food?
You're lying about all of this? Like, is any publicity good publicity? Or when it's fraudulent, lying publicity will actually come back and bite you in the butt? So to me, I'm kind of... It's good news. I'm
kind of
anxious
to see. The world has shown us that any publicity is good publicity. It is not going to matter one iota.
That's what they thought.
Yeah,
we shall see.
It's good news, bad news, no news. We do that every single day at 8:45. Yes.
Did you see the images now coming out of these 13 rescued?
I haven't really,
Holy smokes. There was actually some video.
Really?
And of them showing the amount of work that went into rescuing these 13 Thai players, 12 players and their coach, in the condition those players were in. I mean, it was pretty darn
rough. They're in rough
dire.
Shape, right?
Yes. Yeah. And just some of the cabling they built within those caves and all those that went in and all the divers that went in and all the specialists that went in, right, and all the cables that they had to build, almost like zip lines that they had to build to shuttle them out. Many of them in stretchers. I mean, it is a remarkable.
Do you think those kids are ever going to get over that? I mean, just the mental trauma that exists afterwards. Do you ever get over that?
That's good. Well, you tell me. I mean, you went through a traumatic.
Not like that.
Well, a pretty darn traumatic event.
Not like that. I mean, mine was really, really traumatic. That's true. I was the exact same age. I was 12 years old when that happened. And it takes a year of therapy. I mean, it took a lot to get over it.
Wasn't it a life and death situation? I mean,
no.
Pretty darn close to it? Not at all?
I think I might have felt... No, I don't know. I didn't dawn on me at the time. I think if it could have been...
And I think that's probably
if
part
it had been
of
a little higher up
on my
hand.
I think about it, but you still think about it.
Yeah, I do. No, that's true.
I bet they will carry it with them.
But then at least like one small like bright light is that they have their teammates and that they have this group
this
of people that
together.
Went through the same experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. Lydia, I wonder if they'll forever be bonded or if there are some that don't even want to associate it with it afterwards because it's just too painful even to think about that moving forward. So still amazing story that they were able to get those guys out of there. Just incredible. All right. We got four or five different things we want to get to here in a few minutes. Some things that drive Brock crazy. One of the worst things that's ever happened on this show and a truly great moment for a local next. I'm Brock and Salk.